high drop for Jack Elka.
Oh, what a goal! What a goal!
Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast. We've got loads to get through tonight, and I'm joined by Teddy McAllister and Owen Parks. Tonight's running order is as follows. We start by looking back on our pre-season opener, that 3-3 draw at Blackpool, and that'll be followed by two transfer debates, one over the possible incoming of Abdoulaye Doucouré and one over the possible departure of the returning loanee Jonjo Kenny. And then we'll be finishing with our classic matchday squad quiz at the end, where Teddy will slug it out against Owen. Separate videos, of course, are separate segments on YouTube, so I'll introduce the separate shows as we go. Anyway, let's get to it. Of course, Everton came from 3-0 down after 15 minutes to draw 3-3 with Blackpool. Not quite the start we were hoping for, that's for sure. Of course, I'm joined by Teddy and Owen for this recap, and we'll start with Owen for this one. Do you watch any of this one, mate? What did you make of this?
Yeah, I watched it all. I didn't get into the stream, predictably.
You're a braver man than me for watching it.
Yeah, I watched the full 89 minutes because I had an issue getting in the stream, predictably, for the first minute. And then once I'd already gone in the stream...
1-0 down.
Some bloke called CJ Campbell, CJ Hamilton, whatever his name was, has already put Blackpool onto the good. And I thought, this is how we start the 2021 season, isn't it? 1-0 down to Blackpool. But yeah, I saw the other two goals and I thought, this is definitely how we started. And then we came back and we did pretty well from then on in terms of a level. But I don't know, it was all very pre-season, all very Darren Griffiths and Ian Snowden cliche bingo was going on and everything.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, I wasn't watching the stream, I was busy, but I'm kind of glad I didn't because, you know, obviously Everton Twitter descended into meltdown after those three goals went in for Blackpool in 10 minutes.
I went online for them for until after the game because I knew I was coming in their first 10 minutes. Whereas the game went on, I wasn't too bothered until Mo Besic got on the pitch because that angered me because I don't like Mo Besic because he's rubbish. So apart from that, I was all right with everything.
Yeah, I think it's hard to comprehend that Mo Besic is actually still playing for Everton in 2020. That's bizarre in itself, but this entire game was bizarre. The fact that we had to come 3-0 down from 3-0 down to get a draw with Blackpool is strange enough as it is. I'm not sure what's actually stranger, the fact that we went three goals down in 10 minutes to a League One side, or the fact that we actually managed to come from behind and get something back.
Definitely the latter.
Yeah. It was so bizarre. I mean, it was definitely not what anyone was expecting for the start of pre-season.
No, because all of our normal pre-season games of the past few years, I've always been like 0-0 dead rubbers or 1-0 or 1-0 on it.
They've always been dour, haven't they?
Yeah, and that wasn't, but it still felt dour, even though it wasn't. And it was a very strange game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was always going to feel dour once you went 3-0 down to Blackpool after 10 minutes. Teddy, what about you, mate? How did you find this one? Did you watch it?
No, I've got to be honest, I didn't. I was watching me, yeah. But, honestly, I don't put any stock in pre-season friendlies. Like, we won one 22-0 the other year. Like, didn't mean nothing then when we won one by that, and it wouldn't have meant nothing if we'd have lost that one 3-0 and not come back. For me, the pre-season games they're for the manager. You know, he's watching them in training all week. He's trying new things. He's, you know, he's seeing how the levels are, and the manager gets a good look at them in a match scenario. And obviously, I've watched the highlights and I've seen, like, the goals. And, there's some surprise and, like, you know, culprits for the goals we conceded. Like, Mason Holgate was terrible on two of them. I think it was the first and the third. Pickford's not good on one of them as well. And just nothing we didn't already know. Nothing we didn't already know came from that game. The midfield, you know, I mean, I'm looking at what people were saying, and it was all the same complaints as normal match days. Midfield's non-existent, Pickford's terrible, etc., etc. So I come away from it not bothered, frankly.
You've not learned anything new there. But I'll have to disagree with you on the whole pre-season's only for the manager. I mean, it's quite clearly for Everton Twitter to descend into absolute chaos, isn't it? It's like, I mean, it that's what pre-season's for. It's for Everton fans to, like, predict that we're going to get relegated after half an hour of a first pre-season game.
There's this one particular Twitter account that's really doing my head at the moment, who's talking nonsense about Bolasie being better than Iwobi and just all kinds of madness. And so he got the particular brunt from me at about 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. But
I think I caught a few of them owns, to be honest. I think I saw that.
Bolasie is better than Iwobi is one. A couple of, well, you just, Machete should sell up. It peaked and Machete should sell up because we were 3-0 down in a pre-season game. It was excellent. Brand should be sacked.
Yeah, so sack Brands was the one I clocked, I think. Yeah,
it's just, the supporters are just generally frustrated with the club, and they have been for, like, a long time. But it's, like, it's so funny. Like, it can't funnel out, you know, like all that, like, fume, all that frustration can't go its usual route to get out at the manager, in like down the manager's sort of pipe. It's got to go elsewhere.
No one knows where to vent their anger now, do they?
It's going Marcel Brands, to untold places at the moment.
Well, Marcel Brands is a good one, but then I don't know what he was saying. But Darren Griffith and Ian Snowden were getting it. Like,
that was fantastic.
Like, what do you want them to do? Sit there and give scathing reviews on the club's in-house, you know, stream commentary? It's like,
to be fair, Roy Keane did it all those years ago.
I like Darren and Ian. I think they like, just because they're like an old dressing gown, they're like an old house coat. They just make you feel comfortable, and like, because they've been there for so long. And you know, I remember listening to so many games, like on like the audio stream, you know, when you couldn't get to away matches, and they'd be like, you know, they'd be the club's sort of radio stream, like they on the website. I don't know what they've been saying, but apparently they were given like a glowing sort of tribute to Bill Kenwright, which, to be honest,
yeah,
if that is what it was, that wouldn't have
sounded good. That's not gonna go down well on Everton Twitter.
No, it wouldn't have went down well with me either, but I don't know, you know, what you'd expect at this point. Like, they're gonna do that, aren't they? But it just made me laugh that, like, we were 3-0 down and people, that they were getting some of the flats.
No, but to be fair, I think they're asking for trouble, but like, if they're like blowing smoke up Ken Wright's backside in the middle of
talking
it, hammering off Blackpool.
A game in the back of a transit van or something like that. I don't know what it is. I don't know, but to be fair, when Ray said this morning, when there's so much that people hate about the club and it's not the usual, the manager, everyone gets it. I think even the fans get it. Blame other fans. Darren Griffiths and Ian Snowden, Marcel Brands, Machete, Ken Wright. In reality, it's just a very inadequate.
I've heard another one. Like, what was the other one I heard? Now apparently Denise Barrett-Baxendale's a closet red.
Yeah, that's it. She's the CEO of the whole company is demanding us because she's a big Liverpool.
She's a copper.
God, everyone gets the blame, don't they? But what I would say, though, about Ian Snowden and Darren Griffiths, they are very good for a cliche. Because I'm pretty sure I've heard that Ken Wright one before.
What was it they actually said about Ken Wright?
It's something I used to listen to games on the radio in the back of a transit van. With his brother or some nonsense, I don't know.
So I just nearly spat my water out. We're definitely not editing that out at all, by the way. I don't want us to edit that out. That's fantastic. Yeah, that was wonderful.
I'm telling you, our Paul got the best ever quote I've heard about Ken Wright. It was when Duncan Ferguson in his testimonial thanked Ken Wright and got all the crowd to, like, you know, cheer and applaud for him. And Paul went like a little girl reading a poem to Stalin up on the balcony. That's absolutely perfect. Like,
it is. It's like Kim Jong-un or something, isn't it?
Yeah,
like the deal leader.
Like, killed millions, but like there's a little girl who's like, you know, reading a poem that's been written for her. It's been written for her to say how much they love the leader who protects them. It's like, yeah, that's bad idea.
To be honest, wasn't like that Duncan Ferguson testimonial in the middle of that summer where we were flying planes over Southampton telling Ken Wright to get out and all that?
You know what? I don't know. It's so many bad summers now. They've all sort of melded together. There's just this big mad one with
cesspool full of trauma, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
Pete, when we started our pre-season off on the AstroTurf in Holland.
Yeah, I was creaming that, wasn't it?
playing
on someone's artificial grass in the back garden.
No, personal favourite, you know, when peak Everton was definitely that time. I mean, I could go on forever about this one, but it was just that AGM with the Machidi and Steve Walsh and Joe Anderson ringing the police on Ross Barkley. Just that whole Wednesday and Thursday night, that just like in January 2018, where just completely everyone's head just fell off.
Was that when Steve Walsh was saying it was excuse for not buying a striker, was that we would have finished seventh anyway?
Yeah, that was the one. And then yeah. Machidi got Lukaku threatened to sue Machidi for racism because he called his mum like a witch doctor or something. It was Denise Barrett Baxendale said the city's all ours because we moved officers into the Lima building. but apparently Denise Barrett Baxendale's a closet red though, so you never know. It was all for banter.
Was that the Fab Four one as well, where he said we've got our own Fab Four? Rooney, Sigurdsson.
Rooney, Sigurdsson, Tosin and Walcott, I think.
And Bolasie.
It was Bolasie. You know what? After that the one positive of that was that he didn't speak publicly as much after that, Machidi, because he made such a holy show of himself with that shout.
that entire thing was just class. And then Joe Anderson was like writing letters to the police because Ross Barkley runs his contract down. It's just terrible. But it's Everton.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely one of them. Like Everton Twitter's heads just fall off. And I mean, there's always a bad result in pre-season that makes Everton fans like start like losing the marbles. And it looks as if it's come early this time around. It's like very first 1-3-0 down to Blackpool. You can't get any better, can you? For like the Everton few, I mean, Chico Azul must have been loving it.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, Keith Azul.
Keith Azul, famed athletic journalist.
Ex-Sunday supplement.
I love the way his picture changed from Steve Walsh to that like random lad who was slating Scousers 2 weeks ago and everyone tethered the size of his forehead. He just picked that picture up, saved it and used it, but because not everyone saw that from like Southampton and Newcastle and all that, that just looks like it could be someone, like could be him.
It's been an absolutely brilliant pre-season / sort of off-season for Everton Fume so far, and Chico Azul's obviously lapped it up, but it's just one of them. I mean, it's Everton in a nutshell, to be honest. Like, I was saying this in work today, we needed this summer of all summers a long transfer window to get our players in. We get the shortest one we possibly can, and the season starts within like 3 weeks and we've got no one.
I tell you what, though, the best shout I've saw on Twitter, I don't even remember who said it. It might have been Paul again, but it was the highlight of Everton's pre-season so far is when Seville won the Europa League, because you know that fella who flopped Fanta Scruff is dancing through the night. That little Spanish fella who fucking knocked him out.
Class. But yeah, that was about it as far as Blackpool away was concerned. We got a few glimpses of things we didn't want to see. Blackpool scoring 3 against us. Sigurdsson wearing the armbands.
Enough for me. He was bought for a set pieces, and that's his first.
He finally done it. He's delivered. It's only been 3 years.
Good. I had so many high expectations for him after the Hajduk split goal.
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought, here he is. Look at this. Who's this baller here? You're 45 minutes from hitting strikes 45 yards out, and
well, it's safe to say he's really kicked on from there, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, goes through games, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. He's that good. Sometimes you just like don't even realise he's there. He's gone in a flash.
While we're out on Gilby Sigurdsson, I think it's best at this point bring up that a certain Icelandic statman once said that once blocked me for saying that he just simply wasn't a better player than Kevin De Bruyne, so who's laughing now, eh?
Jesus. And I knew he used to like defend Sigurdsson, but he didn't go that far, did he?
He did. He said, well, the only difference between De Bruyne and Sigurdsson is at Man City, De Bruyne has got players who'll put it in the back of the net.
Wow.
Well.
You've killed the segment now with that. I can't, but I'm reeling from that. I feel like just logging off.
I think we'll leave it at that anyway for this segment. That's pretty much as the we can go over a pre-season game without like losing our marbles and saying we're going to get relegated before the ball's even been kicked or whatever usually happens on Everton Twitter.
Who played well?
What? Yeah,
I believe so.
Played well.
Okay. Yeah, he was all right. Yeah. But apart from that, it's just basically typical Everton pre-season fume. Sign players, we're going to get relegated otherwise, apparently. And what's the other thing? Oh, yeah, Icelandic statisticians, in for a barrage of abuse from Owen in a minute if he doesn't book
him. I don't know, I wouldn't be able to. He's blocked me.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
That's why he blocked me.
Yeah. That's what it is. He just dishes it out and then blocks you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ken Wright, Bashiri. Oh, I've got it wrong twice. Ancelotti. I don't know how I've done that, but Ancelotti's going to walk out.
It doesn't matter. It's all of their fault. It doesn't matter who it is.
To top it all off, Ancelotti is going to walk out on a £9 million a year job, according to the Daily Star, who've got good inroads into Everton, obviously.
Not just the Daily Star, they're four great journalists.
But it's also, it's important, though, because we're going to miss out on Asmir Begovic now.
Oh, well, there we go.
And Højbjerg and it's a disgrace, and Carlo Ancelotti should be rightly upset that we haven't brought in Asmir Begovic.
Let's sign more 47-year-olds.
Yeah, that's probably it, to be honest. We just need to bring Duncan Ferguson out of retirement just to shut up the commentators on Sky and BT. We're constantly when Everton are playing terribly and the camera pans to Duncan Ferguson, what they wouldn't give to have him playing up front now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen that one?
I always think, when the camera pans on Sky or BT or something and it just lands on Ken Wright, I just think, Mascheri must sit there and think, how much more do I need to spend for this camera stays on me? They still look at Ken Wright as if he's the owner.
That's probably why we're still struggling. There we go. We'll leave it at that before it turns into a Darren Griffithian Snowden bashing session again. Next up, we've got our Should We Sign segment, and this time it's going to be on Abdoulaye Doucouré. So Owen, Teddy and myself are going to run through the pros and cons of this potential deal. We'll start with you, Teddy. What do you think Doucouré will add to our squad? I mean, it's pretty obvious that he would add something when you consider that he's a central midfielder at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't take much.
No. Presence more than anything. I know that's a cop-out answer because he's big, tall, muscular player, but that is what we're missing. In central midfield, people just walk through it and they're not pressed, they're not tackled, they're not nothing. No, he's not a destroyer-type player, is he? He's more he plays alongside a destroyer and goes forward and, tries to provide goals. And this is what I'm sort of thinking. He would have to come in conjunction with one of those players, possibly Alan. That seems to be what the plan is. And I'd be fine with that. But I think if you were to play Doucouré alongside any of our other midfielders, apart from possibly Kabamon, who, isn't fit yet anyway, but if we played him alongside, Gomez or Sigurdsson or Tom Davies, it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be, no shape, no structure, but he seems like he'd be a good fit. I think it's a good fit for all involved. He obviously isn't going to want to stay in the Championship. I don't think Watford would be too upset to lose him because they've got, other players that they want to come through. I mean, Quinoa, I think is that how you say it? He's
Quinoa.
Quina or whatever. I don't
know. Quina, no, I know what you mean.
Basically, they want to play him and they won't miss Doucouré. I think it's a good time for them to leave. The only issue for me is the price. The Pozos, I'm terrible with pronunciation, the Watford owners don't sell cheap and they don't have the piss taken out of them for price. So I can't see us getting them for a knockdown fee, even with COVID and with them being relegated. They'll have a price and they'll just stick to it. and we can't afford to wait, and they'll know that because we need players in. I think he'd be a good addition, is the short version. I think he'll add that presence and that strength and that forward momentum, you know, goals from midfield that we've been lacking. And what we probably would have had if we'd signed Sissoko years ago, that sort of profile of player, that sort of, like, you know, goes forward from deep, but he's not a number 10. And if he can start scoring and, you know, creating in the centre of midfield, he'll take a massive amount of pressure off the strikers because they're getting no help at the minute from anyone behind them. And that's something he could provide, as long as, with a massive, you know, asterisk, we get a tackler-type midfielder to go alongside him, because that's not what he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the midst of all that, I think it's just come into my head that, like, Quinoa used to play next to Rice at West Ham, and that's just, like, blown my mind. But, yeah, back onto the actual subject. I think he will be a really good addition. He'd be... Like, you nailed it when you said presence. We need someone strong. I'm sick of seeing our team lose aerial duels, lose the battle for second balls in the middle of the park. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've seen it this season. It's just, and it really does, as you know what we're like as Everton fans, we value that so highly. We like to see our teams work hard and win the personal battles. And it, you know, I think as fans, we take it personally. I think that we take it as a personal insult to ourselves that these players aren't trying hard enough. And I'm hoping that these kind of players can be a bit more imposing in the games if we bring them in. Owen, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, with Decore, I'm not 100% convinced on him, mainly because I feel at Watford he's surrounded in a midfield three this last season. And I think out of them three midfielders who played for Watford mainly last season, I think he was probably the worst out of the three.
I'd agree with this.
I think Etienne Capoue is a really underrated midfield player. I think he's really good at breaking play up, sitting in front of the back four, and does really got a good range of passing on him. Will Hughes goes under the radar as well. For maybe he's not the flashiest player, but he did his job mostly well, especially when Nigel Pearson came in. He gave Will Hughes a central role when Javi Gracia and Flores was playing Will Hughes off the right and cut in and whatnot, but he got moved into the middle and did really well. With Decore, Pearson moved him behind the strikers at number 10. He's best suited as an 8 and his best form for Watford came under Javi Gracia when he was partnered next to Capoue. But if he was partnered next to someone like Capoue, I think he'd do well.
Alan's a bit maybe in that Capoue mould, I think.
Yeah, I think someone similar to that. I think Decore would do well for Everton. I think he's a better player than Gomez, but I think he'd need that destroying next to him.
Oh, and you'd think Klaus Thompson was a better player than Gomez?
I don't think he genuinely is. I think he puts better numbers up in terms of goals and chances created, but like I said, that could just be a product of Watford more than Everton.
Yeah, well, again, I'm not always keen on buying from English teams because, you know, I think we've ended up with egg on our face too many times. But obviously, we brought Richarlison in from Watford and he's the exception. So, you know, maybe it's a Watford thing. Hopefully, he can follow in Richarlison's footsteps rather than a Sigurdsson or, you know, these kind of players we buy from lower English sides, like a Bolasie maybe or a... You know, you can count them. You lose count of them eventually. I think who else have we brought in? Ashley Williams, people like that. We've brought in so many players from lower down the table.
Yeah.
And they've stunk the place out. I mean, surely we've got to get it. We've got to get it right this time. There's no excuses. We've got a very good manager. We've got a director of football who's had one good summer and one bad summer. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, I think for what the club needs at the time, yeah.
Yeah, but obviously Marcel Brands is recruiting for Carlo now and he needs to get players who suit the system. And I think in Alan's case, that's definitely the case. But with Decore, like you say, how is he in a 4-4-2? Was Javi Gracia's formation a 4-4-2? I know you said he played his best football under. See, I'm not clued up enough on Watford, but yeah, like.
Yeah, Javi Gracia played a 4-4-2, but the wide play cut inside, so it was a 4-2-2-2 more. But Decore played next to Capoue under Javi Gracia and that's where his best form came. He played as an 8 under Silva. Silva brought him into the team because Mazzari didn't like him. I think he sent him out on loan. But Silva brought him in and started really well. He continued with Gracia playing the 4-4-2 and did really well because he was partnered with Capu. And if not Capu, Chalobah, who was also pretty good. And yeah, he carried on really good form until last season, where his position moved around a bit, and Flores played him as a 6, and then Pearson played him as a 10. So it was really
He's been messed around as much as Tom Davies has, he?
Yeah, because he's been seen as their best midfield player, and really it's Capu. But because he's been seen as the best, managers have gone in, I think, and wherever the team needed like a bit of protection defensively, he's done that. But offensively, he's done the same. But really, he's an ace. He's not really great defensively. If we were to play him and Gomez, I'd worry.
Oh, God.
Because neither of them have much defensive awareness. But like I said, the Decore and, I don't know, Sangare or an Allen, then I think that would work.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then if there's anything I've learned from this segment is that I wish it could be more like you, Owen. I wish I could watch Everton be this awful and not completely lose interest in other football. Because literally, after what I've witnessed from Everton this season, I've pretty much stopped watching any other football. Certainly English football, anyway. I found it absolutely unbearable. So fair play for you to you know, for sticking in there and still watching other teams, because I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I was that depressed about Everton.
Not every team. I've also got as Teddy, you know, I've got a friend who's a Watford fan, so he fills me in on all the Watford news and whatnot. So, yeah, I've got a lot of experience, but when I've watched Watford, I've noticed the same things.
At least if we do bring in Decore, like, we can finally leave Watford alone. We'll have got what we wanted then. We tapped up their manager, who went back to their team and tapped up Richarlison, tapped up Decore. There was three players, wasn't there, who Silva basically, it came out eventually that Silva got sacked in a big way because his head was turned by us. And then he tapped up three Watford players to come with him. One was Richarlison, one was Decore. And who was the other one? Oh, it was some lonely, you know, defender, wasn't it?
It was Andre Carrillo, the right winger, who's rubbish, but Silva seemed to like him.
Yeah, Silva had him at Sporting as well,
yeah,
didn't
Andre
he?
Andre Carrillo, yeah.
Well, we got the manager, we got two of the players. I mean, we'll probably get him again next year then.
To be fair, Carrillo couldn't do any worse on the right wing than whatever we've got there at the moment.
Oh, trust me, you've not seen Andre Carrillo play.
Is he that bad?
Yeah, he would have been if he would have came Silva's Cucamarca, you know. I think he is that bad.
The Peruvian Mitch Ward.
Yeah, I think he's in the current Balassi mold, to be honest.
Well, we'll leave it at that then, hopefully.
Yeah, that sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Yeah, Watford's Watford will have done quite well out of us by when it's all said and done, but we can't complain because they didn't want us to and we did it anyway.
At this point, it is literally my dad will beat your dad up kind of contest. It's not about the fact that we constantly sign rubbish. It's the fact that we can just buy who we want. And
it's also the snowball effect with all this. We only went in for the manager. Now we're trying to get half the team out. We'll end up with their owners.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the owners will probably do better than what our current setup are doing. So I'm not going to argue with that. Let's tap the owners up.
The county wants Machete to sell up.
Yeah, maybe he's right. Tell him to sell up to them. We'll tap their owners up next. But there you have it, guys. Abdoulaye Decore. What's the verdict, guys? Bring him in.
Yeah, I'm not against it if we bring a defensive midfielder.
You'd have anyone who isn't Gomez, wouldn't you, though?
I'd have Tom Cleverley.
There you go. Let's just sign the whole Wofford. Let's sign the whole Wofford midfield. We've got to get it right eventually. Terry, what about you, mate? Would you have him?
Yeah, I had my doubts and you know, I had the same doubts everyone else did. Like, you know, his age, if he doesn't work out, he's got no sell-on, you know, value, and you're stuck with him then. I don't care about the sell-on value in the sense of, we need to make money back. We do, but that's, as a fan, you're just worried about the way the team plays. But we've seen players who did well at other Premier League clubs who we've brought in who, after a year or two, are too old and you can't shift them. Balassi, Sigurdsson, and so on. But At least this would be addressing an area of serious weakness. So it's a yes, again, with an asterisk, because we need to sign another player with them as well. He needs a Kapuwe-type signing alongside him.
I think Allen's got to be the priority, or an Allen-type player. But again, I wouldn't argue with Decore, as long as it came afterwards and he wasn't the priority.
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer us to not do more of this or the same, like just buying, having a really, you know, scattergun recruitment sort of strategy where we, you know, going for one type of player, then we're going for another, and we're just sort of bouncing with the targets, don't seem to have anything in common. But we're not going to, so we might as well just hope for the best with how we do it. So, you know, I'd like Decore. After what any doubt you'd have about Decore, we're eased somewhat when you see the Blackpool performance, where we're just getting overrun in midfield again by a League One side this time.
Yeah, I think anything will do at this point. Next up, it's the Should We Sell segment, and of course that's on our young right-back, Jonjo Kenny. So we'll start with Owen on this one. What would you do with Jonjo Kenny, keep or sell?
Sell.
That was very, very strong, very strong minds on this, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Jonjo Kenny. I don't think he's good enough to be Everton's starting right-back. And if he's not going to be the starting right-back, he's not going to be the backup either, because Seamus Coleman's clearly got that position nailed down as some sort of utility right-back if we're going to sign one in. So I would much rather go out and buy a right-back who would be the starter, and then let James Coleman be the understudy to sort of, you know, be there when we need him. But I don't think, as our number one choice right-back, it can be Jonjo Kenny. I don't think he's good enough defensively. He's got a decent cross on him. He's average in terms of his sort of like passing metrics and whatever, but I just think he's for a team in the Premier League. He's about lower bottom half, I would say.
So not a great like sort of testimony there of Jonjo Kenny. Teddy, what's your take?
Sort of on the fence. Like, I was for the longest time, you know, the same as Owen. Like, don't think he's good enough. Based on what I'd seen before he went out on loan, I thought, you know what, he's got a level and it's not going to be the level we need. So he's probably the best option to move out, because, you know, he'd be good on the FFP front, because, you know, he's not cost anything, but he'd be bringing money in. So it'd be all, you know, pure profit. But then if he does stay, I've been sort of taught a bit of a lesson by the season just gone, in that it's, players can surprise you. Like, I'd have said last summer, Holgate was exactly the same as Kenny. Now I'd have said, you know what, sell him. He's never going to make it. He's not going to be good enough. A lot of people would have said the same about Calvert-Lewin. And the two of them went on to have great seasons. Now, okay, he was in a struggling team and the team didn't do that well, but their personal seasons were by far and away better than anyone would have expected. So since Kenny's had this loan, you know, he's obviously going to have learned a lot more about himself as a player. And OK, you might have looked at the way he performed on the loan and go, still wasn't good enough. But there's no reason that he couldn't come back and, you know, improve now. So obviously at the time of recording, we haven't seen that yet. So I would still probably, for me, have him on the, yeah, sell him. It's worth selling. I'd like to use that, you know, freedom financially that would bring to bring in better quality players, especially in the right back position. But I'm more open now to the idea of him staying, if that's the way the club will approach it. See what happens this season. Then, you know, you've always got next summer if it doesn't work out.
Definitely. I mean, you guys have definitely taken different views on this, but I've got I think it shouldn't be any surprise if anyone knows my opinions on Seamus Coleman. What I'm going to say, I'm very much of the keep Kenny as a backup and sell Seamus Coleman and replace him. That one's really raised a few eyebrows there with Owen.
The only problem in a sort of FIFA football manager type mould, that'd be fine. But in the real world, I mean, you know yourself, it'd be nice to happen. It's not going to, though. Coleman's locked in place, isn't he? He's not going to go anywhere.
It's just a shame. I think Kenny does seem very committed to making it at Everton. And I think he's actually spoken out and said that today, which you're very against this album, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not too. I'm not really a fan of Kenny, but if he was to stay, then obviously I think he could. He could prove people wrong. I just I'm yet to see any evidence that he's anything other than a bottom half Premier League player. So I don't know. People say we're a bottom half Premier League team, but I still think we want our levels to be higher than that. So I think if we're going to get better, it won't be with John Joe Kenny right back. But we'll see.
Yeah, my stance is pretty much, you know, your sell, your keep, I'm sort of maybe, but I do lean more towards what Owen thinks. But I've now got that smidgen of doubt where, you know, I'm aware it could change over a season because we've seen it happen. But yeah, if you're asking me to, if you put the decision in my hands right now, I'd probably sell him. Yeah.
I've been outnumbered there, definitely. John Joe Kenny goes. In the hypothetical sense that Kenny does leave, who comes in? We've had a little bit. There's been a few right backs linked, also a few names out there. Diogo Dalot, Santiago Arias, Alessandro Florenzi. Who else are those guys, would you take?
Dalot.
What about you, Teddy?
Arias. Because when we signed, you know, Sprans and Silva, you know, we were linked to like specific players, you know, like for, you know, certain positions, and, you know, Lozano and Richarlison, and, you know, we got some of them, didn't get others. Arias was one who we were linked with when Kieran Trippier went to Atletico. So, you know, I've looked at him a few times since with the idea of we might sign him, and he looks like he'd be a great Everton player. He's very aggressive, you know, like he's very combative as a player. Haven't seen Florenzi much, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, Max Ahrens, Diego Dalot, they're attacking right backs. They're flying right backs. Dalot plays like on the wing sometimes for Man United. I don't see them fitting in that sort of mould that he wants at right back, which is where they took him to be a centre back at times, which is what Coleman's been doing. Certainly don't see Dalot doing that. And it's got to be said as well, Dalot's constantly injured, isn't he? Which is something we want to get.
Yeah. Either that or he can't get in the team, which doesn't scream we should sign him.
No. The reason why I'm going for Diogo Dalot is that I think there's potential there. I don't think his future's at Man United. And I think he's a young enough right-back we can mould. He's big, he's quite strong, so we can get forward quite well. I just think there's more potential in signing him than Arias, who I do like at Atletico. He plays in a similar way to what we play him, the 4-4-2. Florenzi would be a no, because I think it's difficult to... If we were an Italian team, then maybe, but I don't think he'd be a good fit for us. But Dalot, I wouldn't choose Dalot. If I had to choose anyone, it'd be Kenny Tete at Lyon.
That's a name that has been dotted around.
He'd be one, because I think he can cut in as that third centre back and do well going forward, so he would be my choice. It wouldn't be Dalot, but out of them, I think there's more room to develop Dalot than there would be Florenzi or Arias.
I think either way, I think pretty much all these names that we've named would be an upgrade on either of the right backs we've got at the moment.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, maybe I'd have Coleman over Florenzi because of. I just don't think he's a really good fit for what we need, and I think Coleman's a decent choice to be the third centre back.
I obviously very much beg to differ on that front.
No, but I think if you've seen Coleman towards when Ancelotti's come in, he's done a very good job defensively. He's improved him defensively. He's not the same as he was going forward, but I'm not Coleman's biggest fan either, as people know from a few years ago, but I do see more worth of keeping him around than John Joe Kenny.
So it's definitely regardless of who we bring in, the stance from this show, definitely from you two, is sell John Joe Kenny if the chance comes around.
If we get good money for him, yeah, and I would sell him. I can't see a situation where he stays because we need other positions more, and we can make do with Coleman and him. But if the opportunity comes to bring in a new right back, I would definitely sell him. I don't think he's our future there, is my point.
Yeah, fair play. Teddy, same?
Yeah, same answer, but different context, more reluctantly, but still the same answer. Yeah,
yeah, I'm very much. I want to see how Kenny gets on. Give him a full season and maybe try and phase him in over Coleman this season and just see what happens. I can't see us signing a right back this summer, not when we've got so many more important areas to address.
I think we might loan one. I think we might get one. I don't think we'll buy Max Adams because they'll want money, big money for him relatively for a right back. And I just don't think we'll be willing to put that money, kind of money down for a right back. But I can see Arias coming in maybe on loan or, I don't know, Kenny Tete on loan, something like that. I can't see us buying Max Adams though.
No. So a loan, if not, it's Kenny and Coleman.
Yeah, but reluctantly so.
Reluctantly so. So yeah, I'd like to see how Kenny gets on this season, give him a real chance. And, you know, I can't see us doing bits this season in any way. Let's just see how he gets on. And if not, then we've got next summer.
Yeah, I think with Kenny, though, it depends what offer comes in. If we get a good offer for him from, I don't know, someone like a Crystal Palace, for example, or a team from abroad, then I think you would have to look at it because if he has a bad season, does his stock no good that he had an okay slow in a Schalke and then not an unsuccessful spell at Everton. So I think you'd have to look at it. If we could get a better one in, then you'd have to look at it.
I think that's something that I try and avoid looking into is the balance sheet side of things. But I think now more than ever, we probably need to take that into consideration. So it's probably a really good point. Which is a shame because there's not enough I'd like to see more than us just like start throwing the money around. But we know that hasn't worked in the past.
No, but I think we've done it poorly as well. I think, I don't know if any of you saw it over the weekend, there was a Twitter poll from 2017. Who'd you rather? Ever Benega or Guilty Sigurdsson, and 80% said Guilty Sigurdsson. So we throw money at things that look good because he looked good at Swansea, and now we didn't really know as much about Ever Benega. We're rarely at that time. Ever Benega was still is a much better player. So
yeah, I think we need to look beyond the whole facade of things, and I think that's a Mashiri issue as much as anything because he's very big on these statement signings, isn't he?
Yeah. That needs to be brought under control as well.
In my opinion, that needs to be completely knocked on the head and we need to be far more strategic.
Well, yeah, but trying to be a little bit more calm about it. But yeah, I do agree.
No, but we brought in Marcel Brands to try and be more strategic, so we need to like let him do his job.
Yeah, he's got a different sort of remit to buy for this time, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's buying for a 4-3-3. So maybe the players he was buying for a 4-3-3 just wasn't being coached well enough by Silva.
We're bringing 4-4-2 players in, hopefully.
Maybe we'll see better results from him too.
All I will say is sign Asmir Begovic now, otherwise Ancelotti's going to war.
What's this Asmir Begovic thing?
Yeah, I've heard rumours that like basically the Daily Star put this article up. This guy called Harry Pratt put a thing up where it's like an article like Ancelotti's upset because we're missing out on all our key targets and name Begovic is one of them.
No, the Daily Star didn't name Begovic. The Daily Star published the article and then someone messaged Toffee Blues John like privately saying this is true and Begovic was one of the players that Ancelotti wanted and Brands won't get him. So it's caused a rift between the two of them and it was just... Yeah, okay. Asmir Begovic is causing the rift between Brands and Ancelotti. It's just, yeah, it wasn't in the Daily Star article. That was separate. That was some other, ITK going straight to the Toffee Blues with the scoop.
It was Keith Azu.
Yeah.
Right, there you have it, guys. Anyway, let us know your opinions on John Joe Kenny. Drop us a comment. Do you want to keep him, sell him, loan him, whatever you want to do. Let us know what you want us to do with John Joe Kenny. Not me personally, but the club. Let us know what alternatives you'd rather have.
It'll be your fault next. If we don't do anything, it'll be your fault because you're not selling
them. It's not nothing to do with me. I'm going to get upset and I'm going to walk if we don't get the players that I want. And then I'm going to message Toffee Blues John and let him know, like, just all that before anyone else finds out, just because I'm in the know, like. But if you're listening to the podcast, of course, it's time for us to round off with the quiz tonight. It's the classic match squad quiz. Owen versus Terry. I name an Everton fixture from the past and our two competitors reel off the starters and the new substitutes. First one to name an answer that's not on that list is the loser and forfeits. Going to decide who goes first as always. Got to flip a coin and I'll let Owen do the coin toss this week. Heads or tails, Owen?
Heads.
It's tails. Teddy, you get to pick. First or second, mate?
I will go first, please.
Teddy's been going first regularly lately and he's seen an upturn in his fortunes in the quiz, so let's just see what happens and I'll reveal the fixture in question. Now cue the intense quiz music. There we go. And tonight's fixture is another obscure one from the archives, which took place 9 years ago on this very day. Everton 3, Sheffield United 1, EFL Cup, second round, 24th of August 2011. 11 starters and 3 new substitutes to choose from. Teddy, you're up first, mate.
I might fall down to the first hurdle again here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you came crashing down last time, didn't you?
Because it's the League Cup, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Apologise if this stops me, but I'm going to go for it. Tim Howard.
You blew it on the first there, didn't you?
Back to normality. As long as I beat Thomas, I'm okay.
You've been crashing in the past 2 weeks, haven't you?
I was going to say Jan Mucha.
It was Jan Mucha. He was the keeper.
As long as I beat Thomas, that's all that matters because he hates it proper. It riles
him when he loses a quiz. It's like Klopp when he gets beaten.
It eats his insides, but yeah, I knew that because I couldn't remember who the backup goalie was at that time. I knew Tim Howard was the number one.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, big Jan.
Jan Mucha.
Go on,
we're going to be Jan Mucha or Paulo Nash.
The intense quiz music's not getting the good look in the last 2 weeks, is it? Because
the quiz isn't intense anymore. We'll have to get like the dour, like,
the relaxed quiz music, the sort of ASMR quiz music.
Or the meditation quiz music.
Yeah. So we've had Jan Mucha, Tony Ibbett.
Tony Ibbett played the full game.
Jack Rodwell.
Rodwell started the game.
Victor
Anachibi played the full game. Terry?
I don't know why I'm proper stressing over it.
You've already blew it, mate. Johnny Eisinger played the full game.
Apostolos Velios.
No, Velios was an unused sub.
Sylvain Distan.
Distan was an unused sub.
Leon Osman.
Yeah, Osman started the game.
Jane Duffy.
Shane Duffy wasn't even on the bench.
Kevin Morales. No, I wouldn't think Kevin Morales.
There wasn't no Morales.
What year was this?
2011.
James McFadden.
No, there wasn't no James McFadden.
I thought he might have been in the middle of his 6 month deal.
Did he have Billy Letanov? We had him.
No Billy Letanov.
Leighton Baines?
Yeah, Leighton Baines played the full game.
Marouane Fellaini?
Yeah, Fellaini played the full game.
Darren Gibson?
No, Darren Gibson.
He hadn't come in yet, he was at United still.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Phil Neville?
Yeah, Phil Neville was one of the used substitutes.
Royston Drenthe?
There was no Royston Drenthe. This was before the deadline.
Was it?
That might have given it away to someone.
Mikel Arteta?
Yeah, Arteta was one of the goal scorers. Shortly before he left.
The Yach?
the Yak didn't play, despite the fact that he was still at the club at that point.
Louis Saha still there, or is he gone?
Louis Saha was still there, and he was a used substitute. So we have got... One, two... You've said Osman, haven't you?
Yeah.
One, two... You've got two more starters and one used sub.
My guy, Gay. Okay.
Whoa, go on. One of yours first.
My guy, Gay.
No, my guy, Gay. Teddy?
Phil Jagielka?
Yeah, Phil Jagielka was one of the starters. You've got one more starter and the sub who replaced them, actually.
Seamus Coleman?
No, Seamus Coleman.
Stephen Pienaar?
No, Stephen Pienaar. This could be a bit of a tricky one, actually, both of these.
Not Dennis Strapwell, is he coming in?
No, he hasn't come in yet.
Is it old or young player?
Young.
Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley was the final starter. But who replaced them in the 77th minute? Also young.
Conor McAlaney.
No.
Luke Garbutt.
Nope.
Did we get him in 2012, actually, or something like that? No, he was there. He had the testimonial, didn't he? Or he could have done, so he was there, he was at the club.
You've no idea, but he wasn't even in the sub bench.
He was a kid then.
He was a kid. He isn't what now. What year was this? 2011.
Francisco Junior.
No. This is going to be a really tricky final answer, I think.
Adam Forshaw.
Nope. I think we're getting there with these kind of answers, though.
John Lundstrom.
Nope.
James Vaughan.
Nope. This could be one of the toughest answers on any of these quizzes, this one.
It started off, it might be a bit tough. This is one of the toughest answers.
Philippe Senderos.
Senderos? Yeah, no. Nah,
Thomas Hitzlsperger.
Nice. No, it wasn't Hitzlsperger. This lad was young.
Oh,
Ross Barkley came off and this guy came on.
Uncle? Don't know.
No, I'm not sure.
He's going to give up?
Yeah.
Jose Baxter.
Right.
Oh, I was going to say him before and forgot.
I thought he's well gone.
It crossed me.
I thought that too.
Then I forgot about it.
That surprised me. I thought he'd well gone by then, but so be it. So there's your team. It was Mucha, Hibbert, Baines, Jagielka, Heitinger, Arteta, Osman, Barkley, Fellaini, Rodwell and Anachibi. And
how many midfielders?
I know, that's vintage Moyes, that, isn't it? And used subs were Saha, Phil Neville, Jose Baxter. And the unused subs were Tim Howard, Sylvain Distan, Apostolos Velios, and James Wallace.
James Wallace.
There's some throwback there. That was a dark, dark time, that, wasn't it? And it's only going to get worse. Arteta was about to go as well.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But it's Everton. Just,
I'm pretty sure Francisco Junior played the year later against Leeds in the cup. Sure of it.
He did because we got beaten. It was like just awful. Anyway, what wasn't awful was Teddy's performance was awful. Let's be honest. But it means Owen wins the quiz and Owen gets to pick a song to see us out. You know what it is. You got anything in mind, Owen?
Not really. I'll just go Zed Cars and Cop Out.
Oh, got it then. Let's have a Zed Cars.
But this is where we usually explain why, but I don't think this needs much explaining, does it? Are we going with the signing or without?
No, he's going. No, I mean, he just loves the 1960s TV series, don't you know?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it, and I'm about to watch an episode after this podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Any Watford fans who are listening because of the Decore segment will enjoy this as well.
Yeah, they are. It all ties in. There you go.
Luke McKenzie
is going to come on. Lou Orns is going to tune in and everything. There you go, guys. We're going to finish with Zed Cars. No one expected that, did they, on an Everton podcast? But
no.
There you have it. Zed Cars sees us out, and thank you for tuning in on the Toffee Blues.